Jesus uses some simple images for very practical examples, observing evidence of how the weather is unfolding. Seeing clouds means it's going to rain. Wind from the south means it's going to be hot, things like that. I think that's not difficult for us to understand. Beneath this is the acceptance that there are some things that are simply out of our control, and our job is to interpret those things, or to discern, if you want to use the more popular modern term, to discern the signs. This is perhaps why Jesus likes to speak about farmers and fishermen and sailors, because farmers, yes, they're responsible for their crops, and they have the job of making sure that the ground is fertile, but they're not really in charge of everything. They don't make the ground fertile. They don't make the rain fall or the sun shine. They're subject to the weather. And so there's something humble about being a farmer. It doesn't mean you can sit around and do nothing because it's all out of our control. No, still have to work, till the soil, plant the seeds, do everything possible, but a lot of it is out of the farmer's control. The same with seafarers and fishermen. Sure, you can work hard to lower the nets or to find the right fishing place or discern the currents, but when a typhoon comes, it's out of your control. And even the fish themselves are in some ways out of your control. So part of this idea of interpreting the signs or discerning the signs or making an evaluation of what to do, how to adjust to the reality, part of what this involves is acceptance of what is, acceptance of what God has done. I've said many times, and I'll say it again, one of the serious dangers of the whole trans ideology is a rejection of what is, a rejection of reality as it's given to us. In the gospel today, when Jesus says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say it's going to rain. Well, what if you're to say, well, no, there's no cloud, or no, I'm going to block the cloud. I'm going to declare that that's not a cloud. You'd say, well, that's a rejection of reality. You're not in charge of clouds or in charge of the wind. We have to accept that, yes, things are the way they are. Many of them are out of our control. And yet we do have a responsibility to interpret the present time, to discern the signs and act appropriately. Okay. St. Paul speaks about discerning signs that are not in the clouds or in the wind, signs of the weather, but the signs of the interior life. We return to the great letter to the Romans. This is our only selection from Romans chapter 7. In the following days, we're going to spend a lot of time with Romans chapter 8, which is really the sparkling jewel of the whole letter. The whole letter is beautiful, and I encourage you to read it, Romans. But we've been reading from Romans for a couple of weeks already, and now we're here in chapter 7. So, as I say, here Paul is interpreting the signs of the interior life, specifically his own interior life. Already he has established that we do not save ourselves, we don't by our works justify ourselves or make ourselves righteous, that's God's work. But we are made righteous by the victorious power of Jesus' death and resurrection when we put our faith in him. So he's established all that in the earlier chapters. And so he's made it clear that grace has overcome sin, right? Where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. The victory of grace over sin. The good news. And he has said it clearly. This victory has already been won and has already been offered to us. However, and this is one of the classic cases where St. Paul speaks about something that already is, but is not yet, the already but not yet. So we are already saved. We already have victory. We are no longer slaves of sin. We're slaves of God. However, the battle is still going on. And this is where today's reading takes us. Even though Jesus is victorious over sin, and even though we have received that victory in baptism and in faith, we still have to wrestle with the enemy of sin. And it's right in our own body. It's right in our own nature. And Paul puts it very beautifully. I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. What's wrong with you, Paul? The same thing that's wrong with all of us. Even if we have right intention, clear understanding, dedication, sacraments, there's still this wrestling with this other law, this other principle, the law of sin, this fallen condition. And so this is what he's identifying here. Even though I love what's good and I choose what's good, even though I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ and he's called me and set me free, I still have this problem. Now this should sound familiar to all of us, because this is a description of everybody. None of us is finished with the battle against sin, the battle against temptation. None of us is completely finished with the project of our justification. And this is something we have to interpret. To interpret the signs of the times, and interpret the evidence, the appearances of reality. When we look at ourselves, especially when we look at our inner selves, we see a tendency to sin. And a certain part of us that still finds these lowly and ugly patterns attractive. Even though in our better judgment we realize that's not only foolishness, it's self-destruction. Something like when people are on a diet and they say, well, I'm not going to eat that rich food or that fatty food. Well, I do it anyway. Sometimes. That's human condition. So we have this battle that's going on. For some reason, maybe because it was pouring rain earlier this morning, what came to my mind was the battle against floods. This has been a heavy year for flooding, not only here in the Philippines, but in many places. A lot of flooding. And flooding is such a contradictory experience, right? Because God made the earth and the sky, he made the sea and he made the dry land. But when there's a flood, the dry land becomes wet and it throws everything off. It's a terrible experience. And so engineers and government officials in Manila and in the Philippines interpret the signs and say, well, we know we have a rainy season. We know we have certain low-lying areas, even some places in the metro that are below sea level. We have to do something about this. Interpret the signs. You can't control the rain. You can't control typhoons and heavy tropical storms. And you can't make water go where you want. But you can interpret, okay, in August it's going to be rainy. In October it's going to be rainy. There's going to be a certain number of typhoons. Now let's do a flood control project. That's right. Interpret the signs and then act accordingly. So dedicate, what is it, 400 billion pesos or something for flood control projects? Good. But as we know what happened this year, those flood control projects failed terribly, and anger at the disorder and the corruption erupted. We should not be like this. Well, that's something like St. Paul saying, I know what's right, I know what's good, I belong to Jesus Christ, and yet I still have this problem. And now with flood control projects, of course, there's a kind of righteous indignation, there's protest against corruption, but when it comes to the inner life, you can't protest against God. You can't say that God has not solved the problem, and we can't give up either and say, well, I'm just going to let the flood take over and wipe me out, I'm going to let sin reign. No. What's the solution? The solution is not to rely on ourselves, even on our correct interpretation, but on Jesus Christ. And this is where St. Paul takes us at the end of the reading. Beautiful how he builds up the problem. I've got this problem, I've got this inner warfare, I'm captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. What a miserable man I am. He builds up to this point. Then he says, who will deliver me from this condition? Who will deliver me from this mortal body? Who will deliver me from this corruption and these failed flood control projects? Of course, the answer is Jesus Christ, and this is the last line of the first reading. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. So we neither declare the battle over and say, well, now that we're victorious, we can relax, nor do we give in to the law of sin and say, well, the battle is over and I've lost forever. Nor do we rely on ourselves and say, I'm going to overcome this, I'm going to make myself holy. No. We turn to the Lord and say, thanks be to God. Jesus Christ is still the Lord and is still victorious over sin in me, and I will rely on him. I will rely on grace, because grace is victorious over sin and will be victorious over sin as we continue our pilgrimage. So yes, we have to keep interpreting the signs, discern that the situation in society and especially in our inner life, and at the same time, rely on God, rely on Jesus Christ, the Savior of all sinners.